yes, 10:02 on this Tuesday morning. Mark Melusa's in for BT and Sal. Plenty to chat about, plenty to get into. Home Run Derby last night. I don't know what was worse, the national anthem or the traffic on the West Side Highway this morning, which was not good. Not good, but we are here. We got you for the next 4 hours. Number to call, 888-808-1019. And obviously, the big-time theme coming out of last night was, you know, Pete Alonso. And even with the pitching coach that he had, or the guy throwing, you know, batting practice to him and joust that he had when he won the competition on a couple of occasions, Alonso didn't give you a good showing last night. But, I mean, listen, it's all about the fans. It really is. Is it a... You know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. We had a Met fan call up and say that they wanted Alonso not to perform in it. And I said, well, he doesn't have a fear of embarrassment. And it wasn't a good performance last night. Kind of an indicator of how his season has gone up until this point in time. But, you know, the comments from Alonso that are interesting, you kind of delve into. And it's amazing, you know, the perception of Alonso, the love affair Met fans had with Alonso at one point in time. And now it kind of runs 50-50, even though you head out to Citi Field and you see a number of Met fans still sporting the number 20 and the Alonso jersey and the Alonso t-shirts and still love the polar bear and the power that he represents and all of that. Alonso still wants to be here. Still wants to be a Met. Does not want to go anywhere. Does not want to get traded at the MLB trade deadline. And I agree with him. And listen, you could bring up a couple of examples here in where actions speak louder than words, where athletes talk about the fact that they wanted to be in a specific place of a stature of a Pete Alonso. You bring up Aaron Judge. Now, I'm not comparing the two. Obviously, Judge has been a better major league player for the Yankees than that Alonso has been for the Mets. But Pete has been very representable, has had a good career up until this point in time. Obviously, the power has been the face of the franchise past couple of seasons, no doubt about it. But, you know, Aaron Judge, when he hit free agency, it was important to him to remain a New York Yankee. Made the call to Hal Steinbrenner, even though he had offers from the Giants and the San Diego Padres, throw the captaincy in. Hal bumped up his offer, and Aaron Judge remained a Yankee. You bring up Saquon Barkley, right? And we'll see in how it all played out during the course of Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants, but you know, Saquon obviously has been a guy that has told everybody and their mother in the refrigerator light that he wanted to be a Giant for life, right? It meant something for him to remain here with the New York Giants. However, the actions were, this offseason, he decided to take the bigger contract, or the longer-term contract, I would say, from the Philadelphia Eagles, even though if you harken back to the negotiations from the previous year, the deal that he got from Philadelphia is not necessarily richer than the one that the Giants offered two off seasons ago. But in the end, Saquon Barkley decided, and the Giants played a role because they were only willing to go up to a certain point. But Saquon Barkley, when he had time, when the opportunity to sign a, you know, term contract extension, a little bit of length on that deal, instead of being franchise tagged and then renegotiate a contract going into last year, Saquon Barkley decided to say thanks, but no thanks. Was looking for a contract in the neighborhood of $16, $17 million per year, and now he's a Philadelphia Eagle. Pete Alonso has made it perfectly clear time and time again. And I bring up the Judge and I bring up the Saquon examples as players of, you know, their ilk, their stature, you know, in this New York City tri-state area, of players kind of talking the talk and one walking the walk and the other one deciding not to. And you bring up Alonso, and Alonso has made it perfectly clear he does not want to play anywhere else. He loves being a New York Met. He loves being a representative for this organization. He loves the passion of the fan base. And he could be a little quirky, there's no doubt about it. And has he had, you know, personality changes over the course of his career? No doubt. I mean, with the success and the stardom, I mean, that basically happens to a lot of professional athletes. Not saying he's a bad guy in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, you become a little bit more, instead of being as outgoing, forthcoming, you become a little bit more of a personality to where you keep more in, stay more general, give the Jeterian type of answer when being asked questions, whether it be pregame or whether it be after the game when dealing with the New York Mets. But he's made it perfectly clear he wants to remain here, right? The Mets have made him a contract offer, as we heard Joel Sherman report a couple months ago, and he decided to turn that down. And Alonso is kind of a hot-button topic because I think the Mets are going to add come the MLB trade deadline. I also don't think they're going to be pairing away a guy of the stature of Pete Alonso, nor do I think that would be smart. The idea of trading away Alonso, if the Mets season had gone the way that we all thought it was going when they were 11 games under the 500, and then deciding to re-sign him after the season if you traded him to a contending team, because that's the team that would be interested in him, right? Short-term deal, rest of the season before he hits free agency, somebody that looked at Pete Alonso as being a solution to try and help in that organization potentially win a World Series. But that idea, to me, really made little to no sense, because if Alonso finds himself in a winning situation, winning culture, they go out there and have a successful playoff run, they make him a contract offer, they have the wherewithal and the money and the financial wherewithal to be able to give him that contract offer, then Pete Alonso may be gone forever. And I'll tell you, if you don't respect what Alonso has represented here with the Mets, I don't know what you're watching. Alonso's a guy that on his seasonal average is a 35-92 guy, 240 average. And batting average, and the way we look at batting average now in Major League Baseball, is completely different than the way we looked at it 20 or 30 years ago, and the way that we statistically analyze players and their impact on the game, completely different than what we looked at 20 or 30 years ago. When I was growing up, it was all about, you know, on-base percentage, batting average, you know, how many, you know, runs scored, home runs, RBIs, all those things. Well, we've delved a little bit deeper in analyzing the quality of the player. For Alonso, his presence in the lineup, the ability to perform in this city with the pressure on him, and not necessarily having a prototypical season this year, I get it. It could be a myriad of different reasons. It could be the contract and his future weighing on his shoulders. That's a heavy weight. That's a heavy burden. We've seen Gleyber Torres take a downturn. There are some guys that respond in a contract year, and there's some guys that struggle in a contract year because they don't have that sense of security. Even though they're going to get paid, they're just not exactly sure where they're going to get paid and what they're going to get paid long term. It would be a mistake. Alonso should not wear another jersey than the New York Mets. I mean, maybe at some stage later on in his career, when he's trying to hang on or cash a last check, I mean, maybe there's a potential where he jumps around Major League Baseball, but I'm talking about the fact that his defining years as a professional athlete, and we are in the middle of those defining years as a professional athlete, Pete Alonso should not be playing anywhere else. He should not be moved at the MLB trade deadline. He needs to be signed in the offseason. I know that Steve Cohen has brought up examples like Brandon Nimmo, walk year, they brought him back. Edwin Diaz, walk year, they brought him back. And both of those guys responded with big-time years that season. Alonso is not. You know, he's still got 19 home runs, even though it has not been a great first half, and they've played 90-plus games, so it's not necessarily exactly the first half of the season. But pre-All-Star break, Pete Alonso has not had your prototypical year. He's still got 19 home runs. He still has 52 RBIs. You know, if he does what you expect him to do in the second half, he probably should get around what his seasonal averages have been, which is 35-92. But I'll say this, like, you want to talk about the impact of Alonso. Personally speaking for myself, I do know that, you know, my boys who, you know, don't play a lot of baseball, but they enjoy playing it in the backyard. They don't play organized baseball. They play lacrosse. They play hockey. They do all those things. And I've chatted about that on these WFAN airwaves time and time again, right? But there are certain players in Major League Baseball that my boys, and I'm sure there are a lot of young kids and young sports fans out there that stop and watch. Judge is one in this marketplace. Judge is one. Soto is another, and the other is Alonso. Well, I was sitting at WPIX last night, you know, getting ready to do the 10 o'clock news. You know, I was chatting with my wife. We'll get into the chip conversation a little bit. But my boys wanted to stay up to be able to watch Alonso in the home run derby. There's something to be said for that. There really is. And I understand that's one singular family in this great tri-state area. I get it. And that should not necessarily define a player, but I'm sure that rings true for a lot of families out there and a lot of young sports fans out there because of the way that Alonzo plays the game, the power that he represents, the gargantuan home runs that he can hit, the threat that he is in the middle of the lineup. It's not necessarily about him going out there and winning the home run derby. It's about, in today's day and age of Major League Baseball, what is emphasized, what is looked at, what does Alonzo do well? When he tells you that he wants to be a New York Met, I believe him. I don't know if I necessarily wholeheartedly believe Saquon Barkley. I did believe, Aaron Judge. I do believe Alonzo. I think Alonzo wants to be here long term. And I do think it would be a mistake if he's not. Wholeheartedly, I do. Because I think those that think, well, he's easy to replace. Oh, I don't like his goofy personality. Oh, you know what? His batting average has dipped. Oh, you know what? We'll be able to statistically replace that guy. Good, find him. Find him. Find me the guy that's going to go out there and average 35 home runs a season. If you think that's easy to find in Major League Baseball, well, good luck. Good luck. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. 888-808-1019. Let's head out to Staten Island. It's Anthony. It's the Fan. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, Moose. How are you?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
Great to hear you again.
Appreciate it, brother.
I'm a Yankee fan, but I love this kid. I mean, the calls that I've been hearing and from guys that work at that station that are ripping this kid who plays hard, he's a pure power hitter. Reminds me actually of Harmon Killebrew. Maybe not as good, but there was a time where maybe we were comparing him to Judge, like who was better at one point. But when I hear people calling him saying he's selfish, a guy that gave up his whole $900,000 that he won in the home run derby, I mean, he was making $900,000 his first year. He donated $1 million to the veterans.
Yeah, but that's selfish.
This is the world we live in today. This is the world we live in today that you just have to say something bad. Even if they're fans, they just turn on you. Mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, he has had, he had the 53 home runs in 19, broke Judge's, rookie record of 52, right? 37 and 94 in 21, 40 and 131 in 22, 46 and 118 in a complete lost season last year. And this year, a little bit of a downturn. I know the batting average has dipped, only hit 217 a year ago, 240 this year, 19 home runs, 52 RBIs. Listen, I can't answer for everybody, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion, right? That's what makes the world go round.
Right.
All I can tell you is that from my perspective, looking at Alonzo, he should be part of the solution. He's not part of the problem.
Right, exactly. But I say this, the way Stern works, Stearns, whatever his name is, Alonzo's gone. I believe he's definitely gone either way.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I necessarily know. First off, how exactly, given this year, right? If you're, and Steve Cohen's a businessman, he understands the power of personalities, understands the power of draws. You're looking at a guy that's one of the more, he's still one of the more popular Mets, even though some of those that call this radio station have taken a little bit of a negative view when looking at the polar bear. He's still one of the more popular Mets on the team. If you're Steve Cohen, do you think you're better off without Pete Alonso or with Pete Alonso? And if you're David Stearns, come the MLB trade deadline, how exactly do you then pair Alonzo off when this team is surging?
Right, exactly. But
that to me would make little to no sense. I mean, I don't understand, Anthony, how exactly, what are you doing? Like, we understand the issues for the New York Mets. We understand they got to go out there and address the bullpen. Alonzo's been a hot-button topic. His future has always obviously been a hot-button topic for the better part of the last year and a half. And I understand last year soured in a lot of different ways. That was not all on Pete Alonzo. That really was not. There were a myriad of different issues when looking at the New York Mets. And listen, can he be a little less forthcoming in today's day and age at 29 as compared to in 2024 as compared to where he was in 2019? Absolutely. But he's not paid for that. He's not paid for how he answers a question pregame or postgame. He's got to be there to answer the questions. He's paid to perform. Now you might say, well, he's only got 19 home runs and 51, 52 RBIs here sitting at the All-Star break, and he's only hitting 240, right? I understand that. But if Alonso is able to get on a little bit of a heater down the stretch of this regular season, final, you know, rest of July, August, dog days of August, and then September, what do you think that impact will be on this lineup? That will be vast. And the idea of moving Alonso at the MLB trade deadline, well, this team is looking at being a wild card team in the National League, has dug themselves out of an 11-game hole to now be 11 games under 500, to be in 3 games over 500, and being hot as a firecracker to close out the, you know, first half pre-All-Star break. How would that make any sense whatsoever? Mario in Flushing's up next in the Fan. What's going on, Mario?
Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mario. How are you doing, buddy?
Great, great. Love the potato talk. I've got 38 years behind me as a season ticket holder for the Mets, partial and otherwise. I love Pete Alonso. It's just a little bit, it hurts me a little bit how he insists, I'll be in the home run derby, but I have to play in the All-Star game. Meanwhile, we've got, you know, Nimmo and both Lindor performing at a better clip than him. It breaks my heart when I see him go up there. I still judge average, and at 248, that's an average one. Is I see him struggle. He gets some base hits here and there, but you know the home run.
Mario,
he's not
Tony Gwynn. He's not going to hit for a high batting average. Should he hit better than 217 for sure? What he hit last year, he is a power hitter.
Right, but what about the home runs? 42 at bats, I think it was before his last home run, the last game of before the break, and it's just. I don't know. I think the home run derby yesterday just kind of hurts him more. It just everybody's expecting more. I think the odds were he was a favorite odd on to take the whole thing, and I just don't see the eye of the tiger, what he had, the swagger that he had. He's a great player. I love him, and my kids love him.
Well, the question is, you've been a Met fan for how long? 38 years?
Oh no, I've been a season ticket holder for 38 years.
All right,
they moved to Flushing in 69, and
okay.
Then I was a 7, and that's when I became a Mets fan.
So do you want Alonso here for you know the foreseeable future?
I wouldn't say trade him, no. But I just don't think he has, you know, what he had a few years ago.
Mario, he hasn't had a good year. You're 100% correct. I mean, he hasn't been what you expected, especially with the motivating factor of looking for a long-term deal, whether it be the Mets or someplace else following this season. Yeah, that's true. And if you were expecting, and I said yesterday, maybe can use the home run derby as a little bit of a confidence booster because confidence is king when you're looking at professional athletes. Well, he had a terrible performance. So it's kind of goes hand in hand. He has not been that bad during the course of the first half, but he was bad last night in the home run derby. So be it. Like, let's be honest. I mean, last night, today, the All-Star game, everything that comes along with it, it's about the celebration of the sport. Like, the idea of breaking down the rules of the home run derby is moronic. The idea of going out there and looking at the All-Star game is anything other than just being, hey, let's watch the stars of the game, the guys that are the best in the sport at this stage of the regular season, go out there and play an exhibition game and enjoy the sport of baseball, something we all love. Should be no more than that. 10:27 on this Tuesday midday. Mark Malusis in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Staten Island. It's Adam. It's the Fan. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, Moose. What's going on, man? I love Alonso. I want him to stay. I'm a Mets fan. But here's the deal. Like, who's going to take this guy anyway? On an expiring contract, what would they give up that's significant on a guy who can walk? So it makes no sense. So
no, I don't listen. I don't. The question is like, but I mean, you got to see where this team is standing come the MLB trade deadline, right? That can change everything, and they might cool off dramatically to start the second. Who knows, right? Nobody expected them to be 3 games over 500 at the All-Star break when they were sitting there 11 games under, right? So anything could change. As the cliche goes, it's a long MLB regular season. With all that, it's really more the big picture with Alonso. The whole idea, even when they were 11 under, of moving him and then signing him, to me, if you look at Alonso as being part of the problem, I wonder. I'm curious what the question is, because I don't look at Pete as being part of the problem. I really don't. And I think if you look at him as being part of the problem, I think you're digging a little bit too deep.
No, I see. I don't think he's part of the problem. The only question is that somebody else a better answer, which theoretically would be Soto and moving Vientos to first base. You just don't know if that's going to happen, if you're going to be able to get him. So, you know.
Yeah, but why not? I mean, Adam, why not have – I mean, you have a guy that is as wealthy as Steve Cohen is. Like, you can afford to have Soto and Alonso and Vientos.
I said, it's not my money. I would want all of that.
Right. So but I'm saying that's not out of the equation. Like, that's not undoable. Like, this is not a matter of where you have to rob from Peter to pay Paul. You have an owner that's the richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball. He's worth north of $20 billion. He has spent like a madman before. The idea that he's not going to go out there and continue to spend when the opportunity presents itself, I think, is silly. He will. Soto's the next guy up. He can afford to pay both Soto and Pete Alonso.
And let's be honest, Alonso could still hit like 35 home runs this year, which is still you sign up for that almost every year. Like,
yeah.
35 to 40 home runs.
Right.
Plus RBI.
But people scoff at it.
Average guy,
so, yeah, but people scoff at it. Right? They scoff at it. They're like, you know what? He can replace that. Good. Good luck finding it. Good luck a guy that's going to be consistent, you know, 34, 35. He can peak out at 50-plus home runs, can hit in 40-plus home runs. Good luck finding that guy. Like, that guy is, that's not you're demeaning what Alonso has meant to the Mets and what he has been as a major league player. No, that's not necessarily so easy to find. And I get, and especially in today's day and age in Major League Baseball, with the emphasis being on the power. Like, Alonso, without a doubt to me, should be one of those guys that one day at Citi Field is having his day, is getting his number retired, is having the celebrations, is hitting the microphone, and you're celebrating his career. Like, that should be it. It really is. It'd be a shame if it's not. Really would be. Matt and Chester, it's up next to the Fan. What's going on, Matt?
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Moose. Thanks for taking my call today.
You got it.
I think it's kind of great that you actually mentioned the budget and, you know, Cohen about how he's a billionaire. Yeah, he can spend money. But at a certain point, you're going to run up against damages when it comes to spending recklessly. He didn't get all this money by spending recklessly. And I've always been a guy, whatever sport you're in, I'd rather say goodbye 2 years earlier than 2 years too late. I'm a diehard Mets fan. Alonso is my kid's favorite player.
Right.
His slugging has gone down for the past 4 years. Is it magically going to get better when he's 33? I mean, I just don't understand. Yes, he's been the face of the franchise because there's been nothing else. Like, it's been in a vacuum. There's been nothing. Once DeGrom disappeared, there's been nothing else. And now who are the Mets fans cheering? They're cheering Nimmo. They're cheering Lindor. They're cheering Vientos. And then magically, all of a sudden, we're like, is he that important? I don't think so. And he's not going to be important in 3 years because if they sign Juan Soto to a 12-year deal, if any of the kids that they drafted, if this Ryan Clifford kid who's finally figured out Double-A at the age of 20 actually figures it, actually comes through on the promise, then you know what? I don't want him here. I don't need him here because he's a big fat zero when it comes to most of the time when we need him on the field. Who are the guys coming through and doing amazing things for this team this season? It has not been Alonso. He has been a dead weight for this entire season.
As a dead weight, he's got 19 home runs on the season. When the team was when the team won over 100 games in 22, what was Alonso's year?
I believe he had 49 home runs.
He had 40 home runs, 131 RBIs. He played 160 games and hit .271. Had a 35% on base percentage. Slugging percentage was .518.
Yep.
That's a pretty good year.
I agree.
Pretty good year.
Yeah, but he's also hitting, his slugging is .454 now, and they didn't go anywhere in the playoffs.
I'm not telling you he's had a good year. I'm not telling you he's had a good year.
It's not
But honestly, his slugging percentage has been above 50%, has been above 500 every single year outside of this one in his second year where he had a dip in the COVID year in 2020 where he played 57 games and his slugging percentage was 490. His first year slugging percentage was 583. So if you want to tell me, okay, Pete Alonso at age 35 is not going to age properly or is not going to be well, you think Pete Alonso is going to have a significant drop off at 30, 31 when this team's trying to win? You're bringing up you're bringing up a guy at Double A, and you're looking to sell Juan Soto in signing in Queens and giving him $600 million.
Yes, and who I'm selling Juan Soto on, I'm not selling him on Piazza. Oh my God, where did that come from?
Alonso.
I'm not selling him on Alonso. Sorry, that was a weird moment right there. That was a complete brain lock. I'm not selling him on Alonso. I'm selling him on Lindor. I'm selling him on Nimmo. I'm selling him on Vientos, the guys that are going to produce for the most amount of time while he's there. That's not going to be Alonso.
Yeah, it's you know, and the narrative changes. And Matt, thanks a lot for the call. You're the contrarian, and I respect that. You don't want Alonso here long term. You'd rather get rid of him. And as you said, the football cliche with Bill Belichick is a year early rather than a year late. You'd rather get rid of a player 2 years early rather than 2 years late. So you bump it up from your baseball analysis perspective. I respect it. Listen, that's I don't agree with it. I mean, I really don't. Like I mentioned before, I think it's to think that I'm going to be looking at a Double A player and all of a sudden figure out that, yeah, he's going to be exactly what Alonso, and he could be. I'm not telling you he can't, but that's not a certainty. Prospects are that. You know, and I've seen a lot of guys that were can't miss when five tool was a thing in Major League Baseball that, you know, came up to the major leagues and basically vomited all over themselves and turned out to be nothing. Never rooting against them. It just is what it is. The Yankees have been known for that. I've seen a lot of Met prospects as well come up. They can't miss. They're going to be studs. They're going to be great. Going to be revolutionary players, five-tool players, and they can't play. They're good in the minors. They can't play on the major league level. So we've seen what Alonso's been able to produce, and I'm not telling you he's had a good year this season. But I do believe that when push comes to shove, his goal is to remain here in New York with the Mets. I do believe that. When he says it, I believe it. Now, the Mets have got to want him. You know, and Steve Cohen has not couched it or said one way or the other. We'll see what David Stearns decides to do. I think it'd be foolish if you decide to, and I don't think they would, if this team remains and continues to play the brand of baseball they have for the better part of the last 5-6 weeks. I mean, you're not moving a Pete Alonso, you're going to add to this team, and rightfully so, something we discussed yesterday for the better part of 2+ hours, along with a lot of Yankee baseball. And we'll get into the Bombers in a little bit. Let's head out to Yonkers. It's Paul. It's the fan. What's going on, Paul?
Good morning, Moose.
Good morning, Paul.
The $600 million Soto contract should have went to Judge and his 60 homers a year. That's where he was supposed to start 2 years ago. And Judge would have been in our dugout.
But right, no, he didn't want to get into the Civil War in New York City.
Ohtani.
Yeah.
Steve Cohen, where are you? Huh? You want me to make a bid? I'm not making a bid. He wants to be a Dodger. Your own player? You can't go $200 million to make Pete happy? You can't do it? Number three down the drain. You think he's going to go after the Yankees in a bidding war for Soto? Steve Cohen would be petrified. 0-4 with 4 Super Hall of Famers.
Well, you're projecting.
The Mets got nobody, Met fan.
Well, Paul, you're stoking the. You have no idea where Soto ends. There's a discernible difference between Soto and Judge. That, I mean, you have to understand. Like Judge was drafted, developed, and was a longtime Yankee. Like, there's, and in the end, Judge didn't want to leave. In the end, Judge called Hal Steinbrenner and said, listen, Hal, I'm getting bigger offers from other places. And Hal bumped it up. Obviously, he got the captaincy. Judge wanted to be a Yankee. It was important for him to be a Yankee. So the conversations about whether or not Steve Cohen pursued him or not, like, I don't. Like, Steve Cohen was not going to overwhelm Aaron Judge with money. He just wasn't. And Judge was always going to give the Yankees the last opportunity to bring him back because it was important for him to be in the Bronx. He valued the pinstripes, valued the road grades, valued the history of the organization. Soto doesn't. Like, he likes it. Like, he likes being back on the East Coast. He didn't like life in San Diego. He didn't like living out West. I mean, that was well documented after the trade from the Washington Nationals. He wanted to make his way back East. You know he's had an affinity for the Mets if you followed him on social media. So there is not that draw. Soto wants to get paid. Ohtani never wanted to come to the East Coast. The Yankees know that all too well. They scouted him for 3 years. They were forlorn. They were crestfallen when that note came out that Shohei Ohtani did not want to play on the East Coast, wanted to only play out West. He was never coming East. And, I mean, listen, you're going to swing and miss. You're not going to hit on every single free agent. Here's what you need to know. For the Paul and Yonkers out there and for all the Yankee fans that want to go out there and poke the Met fan is this. You're going to be in the conversation. And that is a significant difference as compared to the previous ownership. 1039 on this Tuesday midday. Mark Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Back with your busy calls and more next. All right, 1044. Mark Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal this Tuesday midday. 888-808-1019. Alonzo and his future, the theme early. Stratford, Connecticut, we go. Rich, what's going on, Rich?
Hey, Moose, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Listen, I got a proposal, and in the old days, there used to be trades made where both teams ended up happy. And I think I have a perfect proposal. It's with the Boston Red Sox. Pete Alonso is a right-handed slugger. The Red Sox are in dire need of right-handed hitting right
Love
now.
Love trade proposals.
You trade Pete Alonso to the Red Sox
for
Tristan Casas. And you throw in Christian Scott, and you got yourself a trade. And you don't have to worry about first base. Because you asked earlier, you said who could replace 35 home runs a year? Tristan Casas can. But I want Christian Scott. I want Pete Alonso. I'm a Red Sox fan.
You're a Red Sox fan. Okay. I mean, he can. I'm not denying that. It's an interesting one. It harkens back to the days when I was doing overnights here at WFAN, and we get kind of one trade, especially around the MLB trade deadline or the offseason, you know, where Yankee fans or Met fans, you want to trade a little for a lot. It's a fair trade. I mean, Rich, it's, I think it leans a little heavy toward your way, Boston, as compared to the Mets, but I get where you're coming from.
Don't forget, Costas is 24 years old. He's only 24.
No, I understand. I get
you
it.
You have him under control for a long time, and he's a guaranteed 30 home run guy. Everyone says it.
Yeah. But everyone says it. He's not. He's never done it. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, he's never done it. That's why it's. I think that trade leans your way. I'm not. I was being sarcastic, by the way. I don't love trade proposals. They're tough. They really are. They come out of left field. They're all over the place. It's usually trading a little for a lot. You're trying to pillage the other team. It just doesn't work. It really doesn't. But I've said it perfect time and time again. Like the idea of moving on from Pete Alonso to me would be foolish. And maybe but I'm not David Stearns. I'm not running this organization. I think Cohen understands the value of Pete and what he means to this organization, the value of Pete and what he means to his fan base, and the value in Pete and what he means as a player. But I also think Steve Cohen is gonna let David Stearns run this organization as he sees fit. Let's head out to Manhattan. It's Coco. It's the fan. What's going on, Coco?
Hey, Moose. It's been a long time.
It has been forever, Coco. How have you been, brother?
But I've been seeing you on pics, and I've been listening to you on Saturdays too, whenever I can.
On Sundays, I appreciate it, Coco. Thank you, brother.
That caller yesterday, the lady who called, how's Donna, by the way, and the kids?
They're great. They're doing well. We'll give you a little update on our dog in a little bit. Chip, the clock is ticking, not on his health.
No, I listened to that lady yesterday, the one who called about the dog and the medicine.
Yes.
I thought she had a football point at the end or a sport question at the end, but she just...
Yeah, the probiotics, yes.
And it was just a great call. Anyway, that's not what I'm calling about. So Moose, the Red Sox fan, just made my point. And he made the same point that you made like earlier when you said that you've seen a lot of prospects. We can miss them and then they come. they struggle. And this guy, Pete Alonso, I mean, maybe you could look at this. How many first basemen right now has 1,951 RBIs? I don't know. Maybe you could look it up. This guy has a bad year from what people saying. And with all that, he has 1,951.
Yes.
So you multiply by two, I'm saying that. He has, 38 and maybe 100 and some? That's bad. I'm in the first baseman, Ryan. I can't say that. That's my first point. And the second point, I know I have, who I really appreciate. I'm sure you appreciate him, too, as a former producer. So I was asking him, when Saquon Barkley has that voicemail played on the HBO special, do you think he, at that point, he probably thought he was going to be a Giant? If not, did he get paid for it? I know he doesn't need the money. I was just shocked that that voicemail was played, that phone conversation was played. I was shocked.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think number one is I don't think Saquon got paid for it, no. Nor do I think, you know, Joe Shane or anybody else within the Giants organization are getting paid for it. It's kind of eye on, fly on the wall kind of camera set up in Shane's office. The Giants have control of what's getting out. I believe it was a case where HBO and Hard Knocks, HBO picked it up after the Giants agreed to it and decided to make it an off-season Hard Knocks.
Not to catch you up, I mean, this is very interesting. This is a private conversation between two parties. I mean, I was just shocked. Anyway, I'm a Jet fan. Can I make it just a last point real quick?
Yeah.
Like you said David Stern is not foolish. Like, he's not stupid. I mean, he's never won anything. You think he's going to get rid of Pete Alonso? I mean, that would be stupid. I don't think Cohen would allow him to do so. Anyway, that's all I had for you. And again, it's
there's two to tango. I mean, Coco, there's two to tango as well when it comes to it. The value that they put on him as a player and what now Pete Alonso's looking for in free agency with his new agent. So there's two. But I do think with all things being equal, bringing me back to the John Mara and Joe Shane conversation, talking about Saquon Barkley, but if all things were equal, I think Pete Alonso would love to be back here in New York and remain here with the Mets and stay here long term. Middletown, New York. It's Alex. It's the fan. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good, Alex.
Let me get this off speaker.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm trying to get this off speaker. Okay, sorry. Alonso, I don't know how many clutch homers he's hit. Like, sometimes when I'm watching, he seems to hit a lot of so-what homers. But not only that, with him, I don't think he's worth the money that he would be asking. And if he wanted to stay a Met, number one, why did he hire Scott Boras? Because you know Scott Boras is not going to take a Met offer, unless it's like out of sight. And number two, why doesn't he just do what Judge did? Go to him and say, listen, this is my number. You give it to me, I'll stay. So to me, I don't know if he's, to use this phrase I probably shouldn't use, speaking with forked tongue, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think I think he hired Scott Boras because Scott Boras is really good at his job and he's looking to maximize his value. And Scott Boras is always going to get the Mets and Steve Cohen involved in conversations, as we have seen before, right? Was it not Scott Boras that was calling Steve Cohen as he was on vacation in Hawaii with his family about Carlos Correa?
Yeah, well, you're right.
I mean, I don't necessarily know that it's a bad thing if you hire an agent that's really good at what he does. Now, has he mishandled situations? Drew, yeah, there have been scenarios where, he promised the sky and the moon. I don't think Alonso is going to be that scenario. I don't think Alonso is going to be that situation. So that's number one. Number two is, if he's not going to be, Aaron Judge made that call as he was in free agency.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, Judge called Hal Steinbrenner as he was getting offers from other teams. Mm-hmm. That was after, John Heyman, who I love, tweeted out that he thought he was going to go to the San Francisco Giants, and then all of a sudden he's coming back to the New York Yankees. So, we're not there yet. We're sitting here middle part of the 24 season, or at the All-Star break, I should say, at the regular season. We're not at free agency yet. We're not at the off-season. Thanksgiving's not right around the corner. Fall Classic isn't in the rearview mirror. We're not there yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel that Boras is always going to go after, he's always going to go after the most money, regardless of where it's from.
But here's the amazing thing. Like, and here's what we all have to understand. The player's not working for the agent. The agent is working for the player. Like, that's the relationship that it needs to be. Now, there might be a player who doesn't care, who tells Scott Boras or any agent, I don't care where I play. I just want to maximize my value. I don't care about winning. I don't care that I need to be put in a good situation. I want to make sure that I make the most amount of money that I possibly can to set up me and my family for the rest of their lives. Like that. And obviously, you operate as such. You can operate under the guise where Pete Alonso notifies, you know, Scott Boras and tells him, listen, I want to remain with the Mets. I want to be here. I understand there's a matter of using leverage, getting other teams involved, playing the game. You can go out there and play the game, but if there's an offer here on the table from the Mets that's comparable to someplace else, that's where I want to be. Jim in Riverhead's up next to the Fan. What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, how you doing, Moose? I just wanted to go over, I know you threw out there some of the numbers, 35 or 92 or whatever, and actually, like, the worst year he ever had was 37-94. If you look at it, like, forget about the COVID
year. Yeah, the COVID year comes into play, correct.
57 games, and normally he averaged, let's see, 161, 152, 160, 154 amount of games. So if you take COVID, 57 games, and this year, 95, put it together, there's your 152. So if you take the five seasons, divide it into all his numbers, he's really a 42-109 if you want to do the numbers.
Yeah, you could do that if you take away the COVID year. Fair. Yeah, you could look at it. It's right. Even better than what I was talking about, 35-92.
Yeah, so my point is to replace that, who has 42-109? The answer? Only Pete Alonso, right?
Right. Well, I had a Mets fan call me up and tell me about a guy in Double A. That's figuring out that's going to be the next guy. That's where I think you're a little foolish. And that's where I mentioned I've seen a number of prospects in this city fail and fail miserably, right? Time and time again. So I look at Alonso as a player and I say, this is a guy that if he is not here, then what exactly is the game plan to replace what he provides this team and this organization in the here and now? Not talking about 5 years from now. I'm talking about 2025. What's the game plan to replace what Alonso provides at first?
Good point. And I don't even care about his home runs. People just met, he's a home run hitter. I go by how many, RBIs, run producer. Who's got more than him? Nobody. He's driven in the most runs. So, and to say, anybody to say he's not clutch, if you've driven in the most runs in all of baseball, how could you not be clutch? The three-run homer in the beginning of the game and you win 4-1, that doesn't count?
There are some players that are a little bit more clutch than others. You look at Alonso's numbers this year, I think with runners on, I think he's only hitting like .222. So he's not at a great first half. He hasn't. We've talked about that. I don't think it's indicative of what he is as a player, though. Red Bank, we go. It's Mike. It's the Fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Moose. How are you today, Val? How's the puppy feeling?
Not great. Not great. We'll get into a little chip update a little bit later on the program, but it was another long night. Another long night in the Malusis household.
And your wife shopping for rugs yet?
No. Thank God we have hardwood floors.
Oh, thank God.
But now it's coming out both ends.
Oof. Yeah. Gotcha. Good luck with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, on a less important note, let's talk about the Mets and Alonso.
Yeah.
With you on Alonso, keep him, pay him as a highest paid first baseman, but, not Judge money.
No. I don't tell me the team out there that's going to give him that caliber of contract. I don't think there is a team.
I don't think so. And if he gets that greedy, the Mets should just tell Boras, great, we'll take Bregman. I mean, like, legit. And then there's the message delivered with the same agent. But also, if you look at the Mets, let's go minor league stuff, right? But look at the guys they picked up last year. They're all more athletes, and they're not really a power person coming through. Clifford's just up in Double A. Really, the other right-handed power hitter on the entire organization is Alvarez. So if you have Alvarez and Pete as your right-handed power guys for the next, say, 5 years, that's actually a good combo with all the athletes. Like, you're looking at, like, a real lineup. If we take Alonso out of the lineup, no one really scares him as far as power.
No, Mike, I don't disagree. That's where in agreement with you. Love Alvarez as a player. Vientos has proven himself to be a solution, even though he's not great defensively at third base, but you love what he provides you offensively at the plate. Beatty's got multiple opportunities, has failed to impress on the major league level. Yeah, Alonso is a guy that I can't say is more succinct than this. Pete Alonso needs to be a Met, not just for the rest of this season, but really for all of his formidable years, his most important years in Major League Baseball. I'll be honest with you. Like, he should be a forever Met, wherever that ends up. Like, Pete Alonso should not put on another jersey. He mentioned that he wants to be a Met last night down in Arlington after he failed in the home run derby. I wholeheartedly believe him. I don't think there's this unbelievable offer he's going to get from some other team. I think just like Nimmo came back, Edwin Diaz came back, I think Pete Alonso will be back after this season, regardless of how this season turns out. 1058, Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal, 888-808-1019 on a Tuesday midday, the Fan in New York. They really are. They come out of left field. They're all over the place. It's usually trading a little for a lot. You're trying to, you know, pillage the other team. It just doesn't work. It really doesn't. But I've said it perfect time and time again. Like, the idea of, you know, moving on from Pete Alonso to me would be foolish. And maybe, listen, but I'm not David Stearns. I'm not running this organization. I think Cohen understands the value of Pete and what he means to this organization, the value of Pete and what he means to this fan base, and the value in Pete and what he means as a player. But I also think Steve Cohen is going to let David Stearns run this organization as he sees fit. Let's head out to Manhattan. It's Coco. It's the Fan. What's going on, Coco?
Hey, Moose, it's been a long time.
It has been forever, Coco. How have you been, brother?
But I've been seeing you on picks, and I've been listening to you on Saturdays, too, whenever I can.
On Sundays. I appreciate it, Coco. Thank you, brother.
That caller yesterday, the lady who called, how's Donna, by the way, and the kids?
They're great. They're doing well. We'll give you a little update on our dog in a little bit. Chip, the clock is ticking, not on his health.
No, I listened to that lady yesterday, the one who called about the dog and the medicine.
Yes.
I thought she had a football point at the end or a sport question at the end, but she just...
Yeah, the probiotics, yes.
And it was just a great call. Anyway, that's not what I'm calling about. So Moose, the Red Sox fan, just made my point. And he made the same point that you made like earlier when you said that you've seen a lot of prospects. We can miss them and then they come. They struggle. And this guy, Pete Alonso, I mean, maybe you could look at this. How many first basemen right now has 19 home runs and 51 RBIs? I don't know. Maybe you could look it up. This guy has a bad year from what people saying. And with all that, he has 19 and 51.
Yes.
So you multiply by two. I'm saying that. He has, 38 and maybe 100 and some? That's bad. I'm in the first baseman, Ryan. I can't say that. That's my first point. And the second point, I know I have, who I really appreciate. I'm sure you appreciate him, too, as a former producer. So I was asking him, when Saquon Barkley has that voicemail played on the HBO special, do you think at that point, he probably thought he was going to be a Giant? If not, did he get paid for it? I know he doesn't need the money. I was just shocked that voicemail was played, that phone conversation was played. I was shocked.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think number one is I don't think Saquon got paid for it, no. Nor do I think, you know, Joe Shane or anybody else within the Giants organization are getting paid for it. It's kind of fly on the wall kind of camera set up in Shane's office. The Giants have control of what's getting out. I believe it was a case where HBO and Hard Knocks, HBO picked it up after the Giants agreed to it and decided to make it an off-season Hard Knocks.
Not to catch you up. I mean, this is very interesting. This is a private conversation between two parties. I mean, I was just shocked. Anyway, I'm a Jet fan. Can I make it just a last point real quick?
Yeah.
Like you said you are David Stern is now foolish. Like, he's not stupid. I mean, he's never won anything. You think he's going to get rid of David Alonso? I mean, that would be stupid. I don't think Cohen would allow him to do so. Anyway, that's all I had for you. And again,
there's two to tango. I mean, Coco, there's two to tango as well when it comes to it. The value that they put on him as a player and what now Pete Alonso's looking for in free agency with his new agent. So there's two. But I do think when all thing with all things being equal, bringing me back to the John Mara and Joe Shane conversation, talking about Saquon Barkley. But if all things were equal, I think Pete Alonso would love to be back here in New York and remain here with the Mets and stay here long term. Middletown, New York. It's Alex. It's the fan. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good, Alex.
Let me get this off speaker.
Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm trying to get this off speaker. Okay, sorry. Alonso, I don't know how many clutch homers he's hit. Like sometimes when I'm watching, he seems to hit a lot of so what homers. But not only that, with him, I don't think he's worth the money that he would be asking. And if he wanted to stay a Met, number one, why did he hire Scott Boras? Because you know Scott Boras is not going to take a Met offer, you know, unless it's like out of sight. And number two, why didn't he just do what Judge did? Go to him and say, listen, this is my number. You give it to me, I'll stay. So to me, I don't know if he's, kind of, to use a phrase I probably shouldn't use, speaking with forked tongue, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think Alex, I think he hired Scott Boras because Scott Boras is really good at his job and he's looking to maximize his value. And Scott Boras is always going to get the Mets and Steve Cohen involved in conversations, as we have seen before, right? Was it not Scott Boras that was calling Steve Cohen as he was on vacation in Hawaii with his family about Carlos Correa?
Yeah, well, you're right.
I mean, I don't necessarily know that it's a bad thing if you hire an agent that's really good at what he does. Now, has he mishandled situations? Drew, yeah, there have been scenarios where, he promised the sky and the moon. I don't think Alonso's going to be that scenario. I don't think Alonso's going to be that situation. So that's number one. Number two is, if he's not going to be, Aaron Judge made that call as he was in free agency.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, Judge called Hal Steinbrenner as he was getting offers from other teams. Mm-hmm. That was after, John Heyman, who I love, tweeted out that he thought he was going to go to the San Francisco Giants, and then all of a sudden he's coming back to the New York Yankees. So, we're not there yet. We're sitting here middle part of the 24 season, or at the All-Star break, I should say, at the regular season. We're not at free agency yet. We're not at the offseason. Thanksgiving's not right around the corner. Fall Classic isn't in the rearview mirror. We're not there yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel that Boras is always going to go after, he's always going to go after the most money, regardless of where it's from.
But here's the amazing thing. And here's what we all have to understand. The player's not working for the agent. The agent is working for the player. That's the relationship that it needs to be. Now, there might be a player who doesn't care, who tells Scott Boras or any agent, I don't care where I play. I just want to maximize my value. I don't care about winning. I don't care that I need to be put in a good situation. I want to make sure that I make the most amount of money that I possibly can to set up me and my family for the rest of their lives. Like that. And obviously you operate as such. You can operate under the guise where Pete Alonso notifies, Scott Boras and tells him, listen, I want to remain with the Mets. I want to be here. I understand there's a matter of using leverage, getting other teams involved, playing the game. You can go out there and play the game, but if there's an offer here on the table from the Mets that's comparable to someplace else, that's where I want to be. Jim in Riverhead's up next to the fan. What's going on, Jim?
Yeah, how you doing, Moose? I just wanted to go over, I know you threw out there some of the numbers, 35 or 92 or whatever. And actually, the worst year he ever had was 37, 94. If you look at it, forget about the COVID
year. Yeah, the COVID year comes into play, correct.
57 games. And normally he averaged, 161, 152, 160, 154 amount of games. So if you take COVID, 57 games, and this year, 95, put it together, there's your 152. So if you take the five seasons, divide it into all his numbers, he's really a 42-109 if you want to do the numbers.
Yeah, you could do that if you take away the COVID year. Fair. Yeah, you could look at it. It's right. Even better than what I was talking about, 35-92.
Yeah, so my point is to replace that, who has 42-109? The answer? Only Pete Alonso, right?
Right. And well, I had a Met fan call me up and tell me about a guy in AA. That's figuring out that's going to be the next guy. But that's where I think you're a little foolish. And that's where I mentioned I've seen a number of prospects in this city fail and fail miserably, right? Time and time again. So I look at Alonso as a player and I say, This is a guy that, if he is not here, then what exactly is the game plan to replace what he provides this team and this organization in the here and now? Not talking about 5 years from now. I'm talking about 2025. What's the game plan to replace what Alonso provides at first?
Good point. And I don't even care about his home runs. People just met, he's a home run hitter. I go by how many, you know, RBIs, run producer. Who's got more than him? Nobody. He's driven in the most runs. So, and to say, anybody to say he's not clutch, if you've driven in the most runs in all of baseball, how could you not be clutch? The three-run homer in the beginning of the game and you win 4-1, that doesn't count? You know, I mean,
Jim, there are some players that are a little bit more clutch than others. You look at Alonso's numbers this year, I think with runners on, I think he's only hitting like .222. So he's not at a great first half. He hasn't. We've talked about that. I don't think it's indicative of what he is as a player, though. Red Bank we go. It's Mike. It's the fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Moose. How are you today, Val? How's the puppy feeling?
Not great. Not great. We'll get into a little chip update a little bit later on the program, but it was another long night. Another long night in the Malusa's household.
And you know, your wife shopping for rugs yet?
No. Thank God we have hardwood floors.
Oh, thank God.
But now it's coming out both ends.
Oof. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, on a less important note, let's talk about the Mets and Alonso.
Yeah.
With you on Alonso, keep him, you know, pay him as a highest paid first baseman, but, you know, not Judge money.
No. I don't tell me the team out there that's going to give him that caliber of contract. I don't think there is a team.
I don't think so. And if he gets that greedy, the Mets should just tell Boris Gray, we'll take Bregman. I mean, like, legit, and then there's the message delivered with the same agent. But also, if you look at the Mets, let's go with minor league stuff, right? But look at the guys they picked up last year. They're all more athletes, and they're not really a power person coming through. Clifford's just up in Double A. Really, the other right-handed power hitter on the entire organization is Alvarez. So if you have Alvarez and Pete as your right-handed power guys for the next, say, 5 years, that's actually a good combo with all the athletes. Like, you're looking at, like, a real lineup. If we take Alonso out of the lineup, no one really scares him as far as power.
No, Mike, I don't disagree. That's where in agreement with you. Love Alvarez as a player. Vientos has proven himself to be a solution, even though he's not great defensively at third base, but you love what he provides you offensively at the plate. Beatty's got multiple opportunities, has failed to impress on the major league level. Yeah, Alonso is a guy that, I can't say as more succinct than this. Pete Alonso needs to be a Met, not just for the rest of this season, but really for all of his formidable years, his most important years in Major League Baseball. I'll be honest with you. Like, he should be a forever Met, wherever that ends up. Like, Pete Alonso should not put on another jersey. He mentioned that he wants to be a Met last night down in Arlington after he failed in the home run derby. I wholeheartedly believe him. I don't think there's this unbelievable offer he's going to get from some other team. I think just like Nimmo came back, Edwin Diaz came back, I think Pete Alonso will be back after this season, regardless of how this season turns out. 10:58, Malusis with you. In for BT and Sal, 888-808-1019 on a Tuesday midday, the Fed in New York.